Well, just a couple of things before we get into the Word tonight, and good to have my wife here, and Gerald doesn't pick on me as much when she's around, so it's always good to have her. I think Ross just doubles it when she's around, so we'll see. But it's good to have her here, and she brought some head coverings that she's made, and I think they're back on the back right outside this door out here, that if any of the ladies want to look at them, and work that out with her, whatever that is. So she's also got some cards there because she has a website that she has more different designs and styles and stuff. So if you want to look at that website and order some, you can do that. And but again, if you want to talk to her, she's this one right up here sitting by me. You figured that out, didn't you? Anyway, her name's Angie. So, and I just wanted to say, I was talking to Jeremy before the meeting about Larry's situation. He went to the doctor today, Larry Price's situation. He went to the doctor today, and they said within a week he ought to know. So hopefully by next week, one of the brothers here, Jeremy, or one of the others can let you know how Larry Price is doing. And they did quite a bit of blood work as well as taking a biopsy of his liver to see how much damage the hepatitis has caused to his liver. So just continue to pray for Larry and Wanda and for the family. I'm sure they would appreciate that. Just want to look at a couple of things tonight. You know, I've been thinking about how how difficult it is, especially for young people today in the world that we live in and all the attacks that we have around us, the temptation of sin is just so strong. And how are we able to stand up and stand fast in the things of the Lord against those attacks, against those temptations, against those things that are all around us that would seek to, first of all, prevent us from coming to Christ for those that don't know Him, but also for those of us that know the Lord that attack us and just really discourage us and really get us down. So we're going to look at several verses rather quickly. You all can obviously throw in the sword drill. We can go rapidly through. But we're going to look at first verse is going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And it's going to go from front to back as we go through so there won't be flipping back and forth. And I guess the verse that I was really thinking of as I prepared this study was the one, as you're turning there, just the one that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that I've quoted several times, but I just want to read it as you're turning to that verse in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. And it said, there is hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know? The Lord knows that we're going to be tempted. We're going to be tempted by the things in this world. We're going to be tempted by our own flesh. We're going to be tempted even by Satan and his demonic forces. But the Lord has made a promise that He will never allow us to be tempted beyond that which we're able. Isn't it interesting that in the life of Abraham, the Lord waited until he was a man that was firm in the faith before he ever brought the temptation into his life of sacrificing his son Isaac? Can you imagine what Abraham would have done when he first went into the land if God would have said, sacrifice your son Isaac? Can you imagine what he would have done? I think he would have failed, don't you? He failed just with that little bit of famine that came in the land, rushed on down to Egypt, and all the problems that occurred because of that lack of trusting God. But God knew his frame, and God knew him, and God allowed him that time to mature and grow before that great moment of testing. And Job was another man. The Lord never allowed Job to be tested beyond that which you're able. He was able. But even in that, he gave him a way of escape. And so that's true for those, it's true for us as well. So how do we stand fast? How do we stand firm in these things? First of all, what do we stand firm in? Chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians and verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in that body of teaching, that doctrine, the Word of God. Stand fast on the Word. Thus saith the Lord. That's what ought to guide us in every activity of our lives. We should see what God wants us to do. And even against the persecution, even against the attacks of others around us, maybe even some of the things that people might say about us because we stand up for the things of the Lord. We stand firm in the things of the Word of God. I think, and I know he won't be embarrassed if I say this, but you know, Brandon, the Lord has really turned his life around, and he's taken a lot of grief from some of his old friends that he used to run around and do things with. And but yet standing fast, thus saith the Lord, I can't do those things any longer, should be our response to those people, because the Lord has saved me and I stand firm in the faith, in the things that are found in God's holy word. The second thing is Galatians chapter 5. As I said, we're not going to make many comments. We're just going to give several verses, and you can write these down and look at them more in depth later. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. First of all, we're standing fast in the faith. Now he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty. Don't be caught up in the things of the law. We're no longer under law, but we're under grace. That doesn't mean we're lawless. That doesn't mean we do whatever we like. That means we're no longer under the yoke of the law, that burden of the law, but we're under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives us liberty to serve Him as He wants us to. And again, in that, even in that, He gives us not only the liberty, but He gives us the strength and the power to follow Him. So stand fast in the liberty, not in the legalism of this world, of this world system of religion, man-made religion, but stand fast in the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. The next one's in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. And here Paul tells the Philippians, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the gospel. You know, brethren, it's so important for us to stand together. One man standing alone can't stand up against the attacks. And when you see the attacks from the enemy, when you see the attacks of your own flesh, when you see the weaknesses, you know, I think one of the main problems we have today among Christian, especially older men and women, is that we're unwilling to admit our weaknesses one to another. Don't you think that's true? And because we're concerned about what people think about us, well, if I admit that I have a weakness or that I have a difficulty or that I have a problem in this area, that person's going to think less of me. Well, I'll tell you what, we ought not think less of each other, should we? If we can admit to one another, pray for me, brother, I have a weakness in this. He says that we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to hold one another up, the book of Galatians. Why? Because even as we realize that we are weak as well, and we might fall into the exact same temptation or difficulties as the other. As he said, there's no temptation that's not common to all of us. We all struggle with the exact same things. And it's important for us in the local assembly to be honest with each other and to be upfront with each other and say, brethren, pray for me in this as I struggle with it. It doesn't mean you make it public knowledge, but you know, there are some brethren, close friends, people that we can entrust that will keep those things and be able to encourage us, especially in the times of difficulty. I've got a couple of brethren that I have a really close relationship that when I start going through times of temptation, I start going through times of difficulty, times of weakness, I call them on the phone. And I say, pray for me, brother. And they encourage me, and they do the same thing when they go through times of weakness and of difficulty and of temptation. And they call me, and I encourage them. And we don't judge each other, but we encourage one another. And we need more of that. Stand fast in the unity. Stand fast in oneness. Stand fast together. You know, we stand together, brethren, we can stand up against the attacks of the enemy in our individual lives as well as collectively as a local assembly. Chapter 3 of Philippians is the next one in verse 20. Chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul says, for our conversation, our life, our lifestyle, our daily walk is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're not walking in this world. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not this world that we live in, really. We live there with Him. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that we may it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working thereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, Because of that, with the hope of the fact that today might be the day, maybe before we get home tonight, maybe before I finish this message, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. With the hope of that, with the anticipation of that, he says, my dear brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast in the Lord. Just encourage your heart in this, that this world might be going downhill in every way, shape, and form, but you know what? This isn't our home. And if the people of this world want this world, let them have it. Because we got a whole lot better place, don't we? He's prepared a better place for us. And there's life and life eternal and life abundant waiting for you and me in the presence of the Lord. So stand fast in the hope of His coming. The next one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We just got a couple more of these. And then I've got a little illustration that I want to give you. Help you remember this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you all in our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Even in the midst of tribulations, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of suffering, even when everything is going against us, we can stand fast in the Lord. And we can be encouraged in Him. Right? Like I said, when we see all these things, I mean, people get upset all the time, you know, about the elections in the states and about the economy in the world and about the morality of the world. But brethren, we ought to be rejoicing because we ought to say the Lord is coming back soon. And our hope is not in this world system, not in the politics or in the economy or in the education system or whatever this world. Our hope is in the Lord, and we encourage our hearts in Him. And then finally, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. You know, some people say traditions are bad. Well, brethren, traditions that are based in the Word of God, we ought to hang tight with, shouldn't we? I mean, in so many of those, especially in a local gathering like this, other groups and other churches that don't practice some of the things that they say, well, you guys do that just out of tradition. That's right. We do it out of tradition, right? The head covering, the plurality of leadership, the priesthood of believers, the way we take up our offerings and the way our missionaries go out, trusting the Lord in faith and not going out seeking man's doing deputation and seeking man's support. All those things. We could name a whole list of other things. The whole thing of that is based upon tradition, but not the tradition of the brethren, but the tradition of the apostles, right? That's what they taught us in. That's what they practiced in the book of Acts. That's what they taught us in the epistles. And we can stand firm in those traditions, those things that carry on. The Word of God hasn't changed. The principles of God's words hasn't changed. The same things that they did 2,000 years ago are what the Lord wants us to do today as far as serving Him, as far as worshiping Him, as far as sharing the gospel, as far as gathering together unto Him. So, you know, as the time gets more and more difficult, as the days approach when greater persecution and greater times of suffering are going to come along, as the current of this world goes stronger and stronger and stronger against Christianity, and we've seen it, here's what he says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. The way we stand is, to his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him to stand. God is able to make you stand. Now, I've got a couple of illustrations here. I got some stuff here down here. I got an ink pen here. Now, how many people think that I can make this ink pen stand up on this counter right here? You think I can make it stand up there? Think I can do it or not? You don't think I can? Well, watch this. All right, here. It's going to be impossible, but I can do it. Doing the impossible. There you go. Now, I didn't say I was going to make it stand up all by itself. Right? Remember I said, the way that we can stand, we don't stand on our own. We stand on the Lord. He's the one that helps us to stand. He that thinks he stand, beware lest he fall, right? If we on our own pride think, I can stand up all by myself, that's what's going to happen to us. But if we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we cast ourselves every day on Him, if we look for His help in all the times of temptation and trials and difficulties and the things that come along, you know, if you come up to something that's hard for you, you say, Lord, help me. And you know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to help you, right? You have to be a long, drawn-out prayer. Lord, help me. Isn't that what Nehemiah did when he stood before the king right before he got ready to ask his permission to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? He didn't want a long, drawn-out prayer. He says, Lord, help me. That's all you need. He loves you. He's your Father. He cares about you. You're getting ready to have a time of difficulty, suffering, hardship. You say, Lord, help me. And He's the one that's going to help you stand. All right. Now, the second one is, here's the second illustration. I got this bag here. Flimsy little bag. You think I can make that stand up straight up all by itself? Think I can do it? Without touching it, I mean. All right? Without touching it at all, I'm going to make it stand up. I'm going to take my hands off it. Think I can make it stand up? All right, I'm going to do it. Y'all going to see now. See this. Oops. Oh, man, that thing went underneath there. How far does that go underneath? I lost that thing went underneath there. All right. Here it goes. I'm going to make this thing stand up. Here you go. There you go, standing up. Now, what I put in there? I put bread and milk. You know how we stand when we're filled with the Lord Jesus Christ? What is He? He's the bread that comes down from heaven, isn't He? And what does bread do? The Psalm tells us, Psalm 110 tells us, or Psalm 104 tells us, that bread strengthens us. And when we fill our lives with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we fill our hearts and minds thinking of Him with His Word, He fills us up and He strengthens us. And milk, like the milk of the Word. Spend time in the Word of God, that sincere milk of the Word. Hunger for it, thirst for Him, and He'll satisfy you, won't you? And He'll help you stand. You can't stand alone. But I'll tell you what, when the Lord Jesus Christ fills your life, you can stand up just like when He fills this bag. Now, I'm going to see if I can get this other thing I had down here. Hang on just a second, all right? All right, we'll see. Oh, here it is. I'm back. I found it. All right, here's an egg. Now, you think I can make that egg, without touching it now, you think I can make that egg stand up on its end? You think I can do it? Now y'all figured all this, my tricks out, didn't you? Here you go. Stand up, isn't it? Well, there you go. But you know what? That's the same thing. What we've got to do to be able to stand, Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. When I'm broken before the Lord, when I'm humble before the Lord, that's when I stand. And that's the only way I can stand. What does He say with the proud? What does He do with the proud? He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. When I come before Him and I say, Lord, I can't do it on my own, You got to do it. You come up to temptation, you say, Lord, if I come up to this temptation today, I know I'm going to fall because I am absolutely weak. I'm absolutely unable to stand on my own. But, oh, Lord, I know that the power of Your Spirit that indwells me can give me victory over this sin. And I want to be broken and humble before You. And if we are broken before the Lord, like that egg is broken before the Lord, He'll make us stand. Stand firm, brethren. Stand firm in the Lord. And just trust Him. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes, you know, I've talked to guys before and they said, I trust Christ, but I know the first thing that's going to happen is I'm going to sin. Well, that's true. You're going to sin. But you know what? The Lord's going to rise you back up. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness and to make you stand again and stand up again. What's the old saying? If you fall off the horse, what are you supposed to do? Get back up on it, right? And that's what the Lord does. He restores us when we confess. He puts us back up and He uses us again. Isn't that a wonderful thing? A wonderful thing. Stand fast in the Lord. I just want to read a verse from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 just to close. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What is it? Kept by the power of God. He'll keep us all the way to the end. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank You so much again for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fact that he not only saves us, but he's the one that strengthens us. He encourages us and challenges us to stand firm. And we can stand firm based upon the Word of God, based upon the traditions that have been handed down to us from the apostles on down through the ages. We can stand fast in unity one with another, helping and encouraging one another. We can stand fast with the hope of the realization that Christ is coming back at any moment. And we can stand fast most of all in being filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. Allowing him to take control of our lives and allowing him to be the one to keep us standing firm, standing fast, because we know that he will preserve us, that he will finish the work that he's begun in us until that day when he comes back to take us home. Father, thank you so much. Encourage especially the young people in this assembly that they would stand fast. In the midst of temptation, the words that are said to them by their friends to try to get them to do things that they know are wrong in their hearts, just to be accepted by them, Father, but they would stand firm and say, no, I can't do those things because I have a master, I have a Lord, and I have to stand firm on his word and on his principles. So encourage their hearts even now, Father. We just thank you so much for all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.